when you pray, have you ever wondered, is there anyone listening? Have you ever, when you're praying, just had this sense, is anyone even there? When Jesus was praying, his disciples watched and they saw this example of what it looks like to pray, really pray. And they said, teach us, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And in response to that, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Pray like this. We spent the last year, every word all year, listening, reading, delighting in the word of God. There's an old expression from the ancients. They called it the Lectio Divina, the words of God in the pages of Scripture. You read, you study, you meditate. The Lectio Divina, open your word to us, Lord. Your servants are looking. There's another layer of that. The Lectio Meditatio, to meditate, to speak and to let God's word come into us and until it melts on our tongue, until it becomes not just that we have read it, but it becomes part of who we are. And we learn to pray and we learn how to come before the Lord with a heart that says, Lord, I want to know you, not just about you. I want to know you, Lord. And when his disciples said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And Jesus said, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. We're going to work through phrase by phrase, word by word of the Lord's Prayer. Today, we're going to be talking about a prayer of connection, a prayer by which you come to understand, I have a Father in heaven who loves me. I have this Father in heaven, and he knows my name, and he knows where I live, and he knows my frame. He knows what there is to know about me. He knows where I'm trapped. He knows where I'm troubled. He knows me. To have the kind of conversational intimacy with the Lord that if you were to wake up in the middle of the night, the words, my Father, would not be far from your heart, right? That's what we want to learn how. And so I want you to be able, because the enemy will whisper in your ear, who do you think you're even praying to? Who do you think you're even praying to? You've had times, I've had times, when it felt like I was just whistling in the wind when I was praying. You've had times, I've had times, when it felt like the heavens were made of steel and nothing could penetrate. My prayers couldn't get up to the Father. Who do you think you're praying to anyway? That's what the enemy whispers in your ear. Is anyone listening? Is anyone out there? Let me invite you into this question. Let me invite you into this meditation of heart. What does prayer do to you? For many years, I struggled with the assumption that my prayer did something to God, that my prayer moved God's hand, it moved God's heart, it changed God's mind somehow. But let me invite you into a better question, a more true question, a question that you can actually sort of wrap your heart around. What does prayer do to you? Does prayer change you? Does it change your heart? Does it change your desire? If you were to have this image of God, this glimpse of God, God on the throne, this picture of holiness, and then you could see yourself in light of that, what does it do to you as you try to align yourself with your Father in heaven? You try to bring yourself in connection with the God of the universe who created you in his image to bear his likeness, to bear his name. So the prayer, the famous prayer, our Father in heaven, it's become so famous and so well known, and so many of us have learned it by rote, maybe when we were children. One of my hopes is that as we go through this series, as Jason and I preach our way through this series, that you will hide this in your heart, you will memorize it to the point that it's second nature, just rolls off your tongue, and you say, Rusty, I'm already there, man. I learned that when I was a little kid. I had to learn it. If I didn't learn it, if I didn't get it letter perfect, they would rap on my knuckles. I learned it. I learned it. In fact, I learned it so well. I learned it so well that I can pray that prayer without even thinking about it. Precious ones, that's the problem. We know how to pray the prayer without thinking about it. And if you don't think about it, it doesn't change you. If you don't think about it, it doesn't make a difference in your heart. So let's read it together. Let's begin to hide it in our hearts, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but in the leading, deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord, hide it deep in our hearts. Sow it so deeply in our hearts that it becomes the culture, the fabric of how we pray. Yeah? So the prayer of connection, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. My son, he teaches his boys and now his little girl. He teaches them to call him Papa. I think that is so cool. When my kids were small, they called me Daddy. I called my father Daddy until long after he was gone, because I loved him and I still love him because he loved me. I called him Daddy because there was this heart connection. And when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, and he said, when you pray, pray like this. And he started off by saying, Abba, Father. It was an Aramaic term. It wasn't just a formal Hebrew. It was this intimate Abba, Father. There was a writer that I like, I admire, and he wrote a book some years ago, and he called it the Papa Prayer. What if you could pray with a kind of intimacy with the Lord that had this Papa kind of heart, that had this Abba kind of heart? And maybe if you've had a struggle with the word Father, because let's face it, for some of us, that's been a challenge. For some of us, the role of Father has been mishandled. Frankly, it's been malpracticed in our lives. Or maybe there's some healing that needs to happen for you around the word Father. Maybe you could hear it if you could hear it as Abba or Papa or Daddy. My Daddy in heaven, hallowed be your name. Really what it teaches is a heart, if you could let it sink down into your bones, a heart that would say, you are God and I am not. You are God and I am not. And the prayers that I pray are not meant to twist your arm, Father. They're not meant to move your heart. They're not meant to manipulate my God. My God, my prayers are meant to shift and change my heart, to bring my heart in line with your heart, because you are God. And despite my best efforts, I am not. I'm not. And I acknowledge that. I acknowledge you, and I acknowledge myself before you. That's the kind of heart that I long for us to learn about God. And so I want to just spend some time around just a few of the many names that Scripture gives us for God. Because it's a way to say, if you say, well, Rusty, if I were to pray the Lord's Prayer every day, if I were to just go into that, wouldn't I fall into that trap that you're describing? Wouldn't it become rote? Wouldn't it become just another sort of machination for me to go through the Our Fathers and let me just work them through? Well, what if you could give meaning to all of that? Like, for instance, when Moses was there before the burning bush and he asked the question, who shall I say has sent me to them? And God just names himself for Moses. It's not about what other people say about God. God says of himself, I am. I am. I am the self-sufficient one. I myself am. I am yesterday, today, and forever. I myself, the all-sufficient one. The great I am. And growing out of that name, that Yahweh name, that Jehovah name, there are all these descriptors that go with it. Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the one who meets my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, let me tell you how that relates to you, because you may have come in here today with a particular burden about some needs that you can't meet. Maybe some needs for people you love that you can't fill. You can't make enough money to provide all the things that you would like to give to your family. You can't do enough. You can't get ahead. You can't bust through the wall. You can't accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. And maybe the enemy has whispered in your ear, you're a failure. You're a failure because you can't come through. But what if my Abba Father, my Papa in heaven could supply those needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus? And you may say, Rusty, that's just a cop-out, man. That's a cop-out. I mean, I work hard. I do what I do. I try to provide for my family. And you're just trying to have some kind of name it, claim it theology that lets people just coast and then ask God to bail them out of a crisis. But you've had times, haven't you? You've had times, haven't you? When you have worked and you've tried and you've struggled and you've striven and you can't break through that wall. You can't earn your way out of it. You can't work your way out of it. You can't fight your way out of it. And you come to the end of your rope and all that's left is to say, I surrender. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, come, Lord Jesus. How about this one? Jehovah Shalom. You've heard that word shalom, right? The word peace. But it's so much more than just the cessation of war. It's a peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It's a peace that we don't earn, we don't deserve. It's a peace that, frankly, has been hard to hold on to in the last couple of years. Maybe the fact is you've had a hard time holding on to it for a long, long time. But a peace that only God can give, a peace that you long for, that you need. Jehovah Shalom, God my peace. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I love this one because my grandson is named Rapha, and it's up for grabs. Only eternity will tell if Rapha, my grandson, is named after the God who heals or Rafael Nadal, the great tennis player. Only heaven will reveal that secret. But some of you are here today and you've begun to think that my life, the healing that I long for, that I tell myself I need, it's not gonna be mine this side of eternity. Maybe you came in here today with a migraine that has gripped you for so long that it feels like you're normal. Maybe you walked in here today with a kind of claw in your spirit that won't let you rest and it won't let you relax and it won't let you find anything but anxiety and shame. And you've given up on life ever being any different than that. What if there could be a God who could heal you? What if there could be a God who could come alongside you and heal you? I love this one. It comes from the Song of Songs where it says, I am my beloved's and he is mine and his banner over me is love. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner, the one who leads out in victorious triumph, the one who wraps himself around me, who is my protection, who is my warmth when I'm cold. He is my shield. He is my banner. He is the one who wraps himself around me. And the reason those names are important, precious ones, and we'll get to it in just a few minutes. The reason those names are so important is not just because that's who God is, it's because that's what God wants to show through you. That's what God wants to put on display through your life. When people look at my life, do they see a God who provides? Do they see a God who gives me peace? Do they see a God who is the one who has brought me wholeness and restoration in my life? Do people look at me and see a man who can rest in the love of God? This prayer of connection, when Jesus was teaching it to his disciples, famously in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I want you to learn how to abide in me. I want you to learn how to rest in me. I want you to learn how to remain in me. If you remain in me and you let my words remain in you, if you let me be the vine and you be the branches, if you let my life flow up in you and through you, and the fruit that comes out in your life will be the fruit of peace. It will be the fruit of that kind of healing. And that's what people will see when they see you. If only we could get to that place where we could live with a heart that would pray, "Our Father," and then just own it a little closer and say, "My Father, my Abba Father, you're there. Even when I can't see you, I know you're there. Even when I can't hear you, I know you're speaking. You're there. You're my Father in heaven. May your name be holy." I was thinking as I was preparing for our time together, I was thinking about a famous story that's just very dear to my heart from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus tells a story about a father who had two sons, and the younger of those two sons, maybe you've heard this story, the younger of those two sons has just had it. And there's something in his heart that says, "Anywhere but here." And he goes to his father with a heart that would say, "I'm tired of everyone else calling the shots in my life. I want a chance to go out on my own. I want a chance to make it or not. I want a chance. Give me what's mine. I'm out of here." The irony of that, isn't it? Irony. Give me what's mine. I want to make it on my own, but I want you to provide for me. And the Father, maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been there. Maybe the Father, in spite of the fact that he knows it won't be good for that boy, in spite of the fact that he knows this is going to hurt, it's going to hurt him, and he won't know it, but it's going to hurt me as well. But the Father, in love for his child, says, "You try it. Go for it." I don't know, maybe you know the story. It goes just like you would assume. He squanders it all. He wastes it. And he wakes up one day with nothing, with nothing. He wakes up in a pig pen of a life that is his own making. And it says he comes to his senses. Luke chapter 15, Jesus says, he comes to his senses and he says, "I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." And he gets up and he goes home. And maybe the fear is this. Maybe the fear is a father's love only goes so far. He says, "I will arise and go to my father." And he gets up and he goes. And it says, when his father sees him from a long way off, the father could have crossed his arms. He could have pulled up the drawbridge. He could have said, "Never again. What used to be will be no more." He could have run down there to say, "I told you so. I told you this is how it was going to go. I told you this is how you would return." But it says he sees his son from a long way off and he runs to him and he falls on him with open arms. And he begins his speech, "I've sinned against heaven and against you." And the father cuts him off and he says, "This son of mine who was dead is alive again. This son of mine who was lost, he's now found again." He says, bring the sandals and put them on his filthy feet. Bring a robe and wrap it around his drooping shoulders. Bring the ring and put it on his finger because this son of mine who was dead is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found again. There's something about when I pray that our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, there's something in me that just, I feel like a little kid whose father is so powerful and strong. If you are the child of a father who is so powerful and strong, you would have incredible benefits and incredible responsibilities. Because when it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, maybe there's something in you that says, his name is already holy. What's with that? What's with that prayer? It goes to the point of, what does prayer do to you? Because God intends to show his love through his sons and his daughters. Does my life bear the image? Does my life put the holiness of my Father on display? Do I know who I'm praying to? Do I know who I'm praying to? The God of the universe? The one who created me in his image? Created you in his image? Set eternity in your heart? Do you know who you're praying to? He's listening. He's listening, but not to give you everything. God is not your divine suggestion box. God wants to shape my heart to his image. God wants to show anyone who cares to look at my life what a life lived in the presence of the great I am could look like. Am I making his name holy? God wants anyone who cares to come close enough to look at your life, to see the God who gives a peace that passes understanding. Is that on display in your life? Or the God who gives the hope of healing? Or the God who allows peace to reside? Or the God who wraps me in his love? His banner over me is love. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? This may all sound way too good to be true. Could there be a God who knows you like that? A God who loves you like that? Could there be a God who is willing to be present with you? One of the things I'm hoping happens as we spend this time handling the Lord's Prayer piece by piece is that we would each develop this intimacy with the Lord that would make this altar a place where we can comfortably come, like going into the throne room of God, going boldly before his throne of grace.